Wake up, wake up.
Hi, I'm Matthew Carlock, and you're listening to another episode of Sleep Deprived Storytime, where I go over the what's, where's, who, how's, when's, and oh my gods of raising my two kids. This is an incredibly exhausting but ultimately rewarding experience. Let's chat. Welcome back, friends, family, and ears on the internet. Okay, I've had a week or so. I'm going to recap in this episode about what it's like traveling with two kids. What it's like when you go on vacation with two kids. And what it's like when you get your phone stolen and hacked into because you're sleep deprived. Yeah. It's going to be a whirlwind of a podcast or episode. Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. Now, traveling with two kids. I remember back when we first started talking about having kids. We were living in upstate New York, and there was a teacher that I was working with who went on a boat trip around the world. I don't know if it was around the world. So her and her family, her husband and her two kids, just lived on a boat. And for a year, they did, like, schooling, and they were, like, 12 and 8, and it, like, blew my mind that they could do this. It wasn't like a cruise boat, and they would say, you know, a schooner, yacht. I don't know the difference between them. Boat people, you can yell at me all you want, I can't hear you. And I remember having conversations with her when she was asking, you know, when are you going to have kids? And I was honest. I was like, listen, me and my wife like to travel. We don't want to have kids while we travel. And she said, that's dumb. That's stupid. You can take kids anywhere. One of you holds a kid and does something, the other person does the thing. Yeah, you can't really do them together. Sometimes places have babysitters. Sometimes you travel with friends or family. It's dumb to restrict travel when you have a kid. And you know what? I disagree completely. It is not the same in any way, shape, or form. Understand that, and you guys might be thinking, like, well, duh, and yes, it is a no-duh situation, but, oh my god. So, when we took the trip to Texas, that was kind of how are they going to do on a plane, both kids, that was a long flight, both kids did excellent. And this trip was no different. We went to Florida, and they were great on the plane. I think we've trained the 1.5-year-old enough to, like, just fall asleep. Even on the flight back, I was the one holding him, and he just fell asleep right on me. So it works out really well when that happens. The 4-year-old, almost 5-year-old, we started playing games on an iPad. He also likes having stories read to him. It was fantastic. So that isn't the hard part, that being on the plane. Well, at least for us, some people may differ. It was getting there. All right, being in the airport, moving from place to place. This time I did get pre-check, last second, but I still got it. And we were able to be in the same line and do everything together. So I'll admit, getting there was, we're all ramped up with excitement. We're going to go to Florida. We're going to be on vacation for a while. The 4-year-old's running around the airport. The 1.5-year-old is just looking around everywhere, and we're trying to keep him contained because now that they walk everywhere. They do not want to stay in prescribed areas, so they're constantly moving around. My brain is, like, being pulled in like 14 different directions, my wife's brain being pulled in 15 different directions. Mostly the hardest part whenever we were getting to and from airports was the driving and being on buses. The little one, the 1.5-year-old, does not like being held all the time. They want to stretch their legs, they want to run, they want to walk, they want to climb everything. And the 4-year-old just gets, you know, bored and wants to play on the iPad or wants to play something, and you can't just play all the time because you're trying to figure things out and then they're talking to you. I'm making it sound like a nightmare. At this point, we're two experienced parents who know how to handle our two kids. But in this foreign environment with this amped up energy and extra things that we're juggling, it was a hassle. The vacation itself was pretty good. Our sleep schedule was completely thrown off, of course. We try to get our kids in bed by like 7. And they were going to bed by like 9 and 10 o'clock. There was a 12-hour day in which I think the 1.5-year-old had their feet on the ground maybe 30 minutes because they were constantly in the stroller or being held because we were in lines. We did 3 rides, each with an hour plus long line. You can probably guess where we went. Every single day was a new adventure, and the 4-year-old was getting very overstimulated, and then we'd get back to the hotel room and they would just go nuts. They love hotel rooms. They were jumping from bed to bed, singing songs loudly. Whenever the 1.5-year-old starts crying, the 4-year-old wants to jump in and throw his own voice into the mix. It was insane. Lots of tears, lots of tantrums. Of course, we didn't buy everything in the world, but we did buy a few things. Tantrums were held sometimes at the park, sometimes in the hotel room. Overall, it was pretty good weather. Rained a couple times. Only a few times at the parks, which wasn't terrible. So yay, good for us. What was I gonna mention? But most of the time, it was smooth sailing. Now we did a pretty long one, 4 days, 5 nights. What, Sunday, Monday? Yeah, 5 days, 4 nights. Or 5 minutes. I don't. Whatever. Got there Sunday. We were supposed to leave Friday, except all of our flights were canceled. Wah, wah. So we got an extra day. Oh, well, that sounds great, except that it's not completely, because now we have to go and, like, if we bought a vacation package deal, and so now we have to, like, pay the, you know, the rates for where we were staying, and it added up very, very quickly, extra meals, extra day, extra everything. We didn't go to a park on that extra day. Where we were staying had enough to keep us occupied, luckily. But it was still like, yay, an extra day, but also, oh my god, an extra day. We had to leave the next morning at like 5 a.m. Okay, after a quick break and some reconsidering, I've decided not to jump into the whole phone being stolen bit. That's going to be in a different episode because, more or less, it's a bummer. And I really just want to talk about going to Disney. So, going to Disney. Oh my. First off, it's big. Guys, it's big. It's big. It's very, very big. If you've never been, might I suggest going without kids first? Or if, you know, you're younger and you're still living with your parents, wait until you're older, because it's a lot of walking, a lot of waiting, a lot of sitting, like I mentioned, but it is one heck of an experience. It really was. I wanted to kind of talk about, you know, what you should do if you're planning on a vacation to Disney. I can't speak to the best of that. Y'all, this vacation was brought to us by my lovely wife. They did all the planning. This was supposed to be a pretty inexpensive, like, last-minute thing in April, but then we all got sick. So we pushed it until June, and right at the crux of, you know, travel season, I guess. That wasn't the worst. I mean, it was hot and it rained. It just kind of became a little bit more expensive all around. However, they did such a good job planning everything, and I want to kind of talk about what they did to plan. First off, just Google Disney tips. Like if you just Google Disney tips, you will find a million different websites. The top ones that came up for me are a website, Mouse Hacking, Undercover Tourist, Disney Tourist Blog, The Points Guy, Travel and Leisure. There's also Disney sponsored ones like Magic Guides. I mean, there's just so many. And like Mouse Hacking has 80 plus tips. The Disney Tourist Blog has 101 great Disney World tips. Or, you know, 42 Disney World, Disneyland tips for magical vacation. They go on and on and on. But mainly boils down to plan, 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 plan. And I'm not joking. And neither is my wife. She looked up everything. She bought a book because she loves the reading. And she devoured that tourist guidebook. In fact, when we were done with it, we put it on our local Buy Nothing group. Four families immediately were like, yes, yes, give us that, because it was filled with wonderful tips, like what to do for food, how to plan for food, how to plan for where you're staying, transportation, what hotels are closest, what hotels are furthest, who offers discounts, what kind of travel agencies you should look for, if you want to look for a travel agency or if you want to do it solo. Know your area, know the price points, don't be afraid to move around to different rooms every night. I mean, it's just so much. But in the end, the best parts are just like not having to think, well, what are we going to do now? Choice paralysis can put a lot of us in an uncomfortable situation, but if you have a game plan, and that's pretty much what all the travel sites tell you, is just go in with a game plan. What parks you want to go to first? What do you want to see? When do you want to see? How do you want to see it? Are rides involved? Are attractions involved? Are extra experiences involved? Things can add up quickly, but there are ways to cut corners and save money. I really, really can't speak on all the different ways to save money. One website, what is this one? The Points Guy talked about finding or using their secret menus, and all of these websites also have links to things. So like, save money by using secret menus or eating at lounges, not full service restaurants. There's tons of kiosks all around. Create your own souvenirs with the experiences that they have. Get hard to get dining reservations by booking way, way in advance. And mostly a lot of the money saving ones where like choose your dates carefully. That's why we tried to go in the spring, ended up going in summer during like peak season, but whatever. Most of the time we used to go, when my wife and I traveled to Florida, we would go in fall, October, November, and those were great. You kind of see the holiday decorations up. Always miss out on Halloween. Disney doesn't really do Halloween, which is crazy, but whatever. They have all the other major holidays. One thing that I will say one thing I can speak on are a couple of things that we ended up doing that A, were time savers, B, it just made traveling with kids so much easier. Those Magic Bands, they cost a lot, you need to get the app with them, but everything worked out so much better and so much easier by having those bands with us. Second thing, renting a stroller. Yes, the kid is 4.5, but you know, we got one of those double strollers, one where he could just sit down, and that worked out so well because it rained on us like 3 or 4 times. Get one of those little ponchos, put it on, or not just a rain poncho for us, but a stroller, like he thought it was a little tent. Thought it was hilarious. Put a little fan in there, everyone was good. And that was basically probably one of the nicest things that we have. My wife and I have both been caught at a theme park in rain, and it's not great. Like going from hot, humid with rain into a cold bus, and you can imagine trying to travel with kids who are soaking wet while doing that, and a soaking wet stroller. Oh, by the way, we also rented a stroller, not just from Disney. There are like tons of services that just pop up around the Disney area and theme park for this, that kind of thing. Just services that make the convenience a much more enjoyable experience. The convenience makes the experience much more enjoyable. The other thing that we did to kind of save money a lot was taking our water bottles and just refilling them. There aren't a lot of water refill stations. Like, not at all. Usually at all the like lounges and restaurants, you can get ice water for free, and on a couple occasions I would like gulp mine down and then go back to the counter and ask for a refill, and they would like size me up because, you know, they understand that it's June and we're hot and ice water is way better than soda anyway, especially if we're trying to stay hydrated. We also shared most of our meals. Like, we would buy one thing for like her and I, and then our one thing for the kids, and that would, you know, be fine. Bring snacks, you're allowed to bring snacks. Now if you want the experience, yeah, sure, go buy whatever, but it was helpful anyway. Transportation was different this time. We used buses, and those were the super helpful, but I when we got there, I found out that there was basically a sidewalk connecting almost all of the major parks with the hotels and stuff that we were staying at, and walking to and fro was part of the experience itself. We didn't get to go on the SkyTrams or Skyliner. I hear that's really fun, but you have to be in certain locations for that. And last but not least, to bring this one to a close, well, almost. If you're going with kids, or if you're just going by yourselves, pay for the experience. Go see the fireworks. Get a Disney character lunch, or breakfast, or dinner. The look on your kids' faces will light up. The fireworks was absolutely fantastic. They always are. The shows are a great way to cool off, even if, you know, it's Country Bear Jamboree or Hall of Presidents. Whatever, you can still cool off. Spaceship Earth is always a great show. We didn't go to this time, but we've been to it before. I mean, it's just, if you're going there for the experience, go there for the experience. That's my main takeaway from this. All right, so I'm going to wrap this up. Not a lot more, just, you know, we had fun. We went to a vacation. Vacationing with kids is a lot different, a lot more different than it was when it was just the two of us. But it was still, you know, fantastic from a parent standpoint. Quite successful. Very proud of ourselves. We didn't even like yell at each other, like, or we kind of almost snapped at each other once. It was fantastic. Like, and I owe that all to their planning and what they did to like make sure that this trip was going to be amazing. So, you know, overall win. Okay, next week I'm going to talk about my phone getting stolen and how to protect, or at least what the internet says I should have done to protect my my identity, or not necessarily that, but what you do when it's stolen. Yay, fun. All right, until next time, remember to laugh at the little things, give your kids lots of love, hugs and kisses, and as always, get some sleep.
And that's our show. Thanks for listening. Please support the podcast by liking, sharing, and subscribing on whatever platform you're listening to.
You can also help the podcast through a monthly subscription through Spotify. For a low, low monthly price, you will get extra content such as readings of other short stories I've written, a chapter-by-chapter read of my middle grade novel, Defenders, unedited interview, bloopers, and so much more.
You can follow the podcast on Twitter at SDSTPodcast. You can follow me personally on my Instagram and Twitters at KCOLRACM. That's at ColracM. And finally, a big shout out to Albert Maldonado for engineering the sound to perfection and writing our really awesome song. All right, see you next time.